Welcome to your deep dive. Today, we're looking at this fascinating academic article you sent over, Borders, Citizenship, and Global Inequality.
Yeah.
It's a long title. What barriers, pushbacks, and passport controls reveal about our understanding of the equality of humankind. Ooh,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but when I was reading this, I was really struck by just how much we take for granted borders and citizenship as if they've always been this way.
Yeah, it is easy to just kind of assume that isn't it.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, you know, these systems have a long and complex history, and they haven't always looked the way they do today.
Right.
Like even just the word border.
Yeah.
Originally didn't mean like a hard line on a map. It was more of a vague zone of contact.
So how did we go from these fuzzy edges to the rigid lines we see today?
Well, if you picture like ancient empires building walls and fortifications for defense,
right,
like Hadrian's Wall or the Great Wall of China, and those were early forms of borders.
Oh, okay.
And then as nation states emerged, especially after the French Revolution, the idea of citizenship became increasingly tied to a specific territory.
So the rise of nation states really solidified the concept of borders as we know them.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And then you had that kind of messy process of decolonization in the 20th century.
Right.
Where a lot of borders were drawn quite arbitrarily, often ignoring existing cultural or ethnic boundaries. And this legacy of colonialism, combined with factors like migration and economic disparities, has really led to what the authors call a renaissance of the border in the 21st century.
Renaissance makes it sound like a good thing.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's not quite that simple.
It is more complicated.
Yeah.
I think about the rise of populism.
Right.
The focus on border security after 9/11. Even like the debates that we see today about immigration.
Yeah.
It's all part of this trend where borders have become more prominent and more contested.
So it sounds like borders are serving a lot of different functions these days.
They are.
What are the key roles that they're playing?
Well, the authors highlight three main functions.
Okay.
The first is kind of cultural and geographical.
Yeah.
Borders separate political and legal systems.
Right.
Which can often, though not always, reflect cultural differences too.
That makes sense. But like you said earlier, a lot of these borders were drawn without much thought given to those existing cultural dynamics.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where things get complicated because those arbitrary lines can actually lead to conflict and instability.
Yeah.
As different groups find themselves like forced together or separated.
Mm-hmm.
Like the article even points to the war in Ukraine as an example of how borders can actually provide protection and security.
So on the one hand, they can create division, but on the other hand, they can offer protection.
Yeah.
It's a real double-edged sword.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the third and perhaps the most ethically challenging function of borders.
Okay.
The defense of resources and prosperity.
And this is really where the article gets into the heart of the matter, isn't it?
Yeah.
The ethical implications of borders and how they contribute to global inequality.
Right. The authors are arguing that while borders have some legitimate functions, they ultimately create these kind of arbitrary distinctions between people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the world is divided into the haves and have-nots.
Yeah.
Based on something as random as where you're born.
They call it the birthright lottery, right?
Yeah.
Which is a pretty powerful image.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about how your life might be different?
Yeah.
If you were born just a few miles away on the other side of a border.
It's a very sobering thought.
Yeah.
To imagine being born on one side and having access to education, healthcare, a stable economy.
Yeah.
Versus being born on the other and facing poverty, conflict, or limited opportunities, it really exposes how these lines can create drastically different life chances.
But some people would say that countries have a right to protect their resources and the well-being of their own citizens.
Yeah.
Isn't that valid?
It is, and the authors acknowledge that.
Okay.
But they challenge us to think deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Is it morally justifiable to hoard resources and limit opportunities for others?
Yeah.
Simply because of where they happen to be born?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
And the article explores some pretty heavy philosophical concepts to grapple with that, like Rawls' veil of ignorance.
Yeah, the veil of ignorance, which is that thought experiment that asks if we were designing a society without knowing our place in it, our wealth, our status, our country of origin, even.
Okay.
When we choose a system with such stark inequalities.
Yeah.
And it forces us to confront the arbitrariness of our current system.
It sounds like they're suggesting that maybe we wouldn't choose such a system if we didn't know where we would end up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they also bring in the idea of utilitarianism.
Right.
Which focuses on maximizing overall happiness and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And do closed borders and unequal access to resources really achieve that goal?
Right.
So these philosophical frameworks,
they
help us to see the potential injustices that are baked into our current border systems.
It seems like these systems have real human consequences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And not just in these abstract philosophical terms.
Yeah.
The article highlights how border policies and control mechanisms can lead to tragic outcomes.
Right.
Even death.
Yeah.
For those desperately seeking a better life.
It's a stark reminder that these abstract concepts have very real and often devastating impacts on people's lives.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
Mm.
Are there any like solutions? Does the article offer any alternatives?
Well, we'll explore those alternatives in detail a little later. But first, we need to dive into the other half of this equation.
Right.
Citizenship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about borders and how they can be these like powerful symbols of division.
Mm-hmm.
But the article you submitted doesn't stop there.
Right.
It goes on to talk about citizenship and how that can be just as problematic when it comes to global inequality.
Yeah, it's a crucial point.
Yeah.
Citizenship often gets overlooked in these discussions.
Right.
But it's deeply intertwined with this whole issue of borders.
So let's unpack that a little bit.
Okay.
How does citizenship actually function?
Oh.
I mean, we all have a passport, but what does it really mean beyond just being able to travel?
Well, on a very basic level,
citizenship
serves to kind of formally define
who
belongs to a particular state and who doesn't.
Right.
It creates that legal bond
between
individuals and their country.
Okay.
It's almost like a contract.
Yeah.
That grants you certain rights and imposes certain obligations.
Like the right to vote or the obligation to pay taxes?
Exactly.
Okay.
But here's where things get a little tricky.
Okay.
Those rights and obligations can vary dramatically.
Yeah.
Depending on which passport you hold.
The article highlights that pretty starkly, doesn't it?
It does.
How the color of your passport can have a huge impact on your life.
Absolutely. It determines your freedom of movement, your access to education, healthcare, even the level of legal protection that you enjoy.
Wow.
I mean, think about it this way.
Uh-huh.
A German citizen can travel visa-free
to
194 countries.
Wow.
While someone with an Afghan passport can only enter 28 countries.
Wow, that's a massive difference. Yeah. It's almost like there's this global caste system based on where you were born.
That's a very powerful analogy.
Yeah.
And it really gets to the heart of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The authors are arguing that citizenship in many ways becomes a tool for kind of like hidden discrimination.
Because nationality is often so closely tied to ethnicity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Entry and migration decisions.
Right.
The granting of visas. Mm-hmm. Even just like the perception of certain groups.
Right.
It all becomes intertwined with nationality.
Yeah.
Which can be a proxy for race and ethnicity.
So while we may have made progress in combating like overt racism, this more subtle form of discrimination based on citizenship persists.
That's the argument that the authors are making.
Yeah.
They're suggesting that we need to look beyond the obvious forms of prejudice.
Right.
And examine how these seemingly neutral systems, like borders and citizenship, can actually perpetuate inequality.
Okay, so we've painted a pretty bleak picture so far.
Yeah.
Are there any, like, viable solutions? Well, the article mentions open borders and global citizenship.
Right.
But those sound like pretty radical ideas.
They are radical.
Yeah.
And they've sparked a lot of debate.
Yeah.
Let's start with open borders. It's the idea that people should be free to live and work wherever they choose, regardless of their nationality.
Okay.
Think of it as a world without border controls or restrictions on movement.
It sounds pretty utopian.
It does.
What are the arguments in favor of such a system?
Well, proponents of open borders, like the philosopher Joseph Cairns, argue that restricting freedom of movement is a violation of basic human rights.
Okay.
They believe that everyone should have the right to move freely.
Right.
And seek opportunities wherever they may exist.
I can see the appeal of that argument.
Yeah.
It would certainly create a more level playing field in terms of access to resources and opportunities.
It would.
Yeah.
And some argue that it would even have economic benefits as well.
Okay.
Like increased global trade.
Right.
a more efficient allocation of labor.
But wouldn't open borders also lead to, like, mass migration?
It could.
And potentially destabilize entire countries?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the influx of people into areas that are already crowded and resource drained.
That's a major concern.
Yeah.
That even advocates of open borders acknowledge.
Okay.
Critics argue that it could overwhelm social systems,
right,
lead to cultural clashes,
mm-hmm.
and even exacerbate existing inequalities.
So while it might be philosophically appealing,
yeah,
it might not be practical in the real world.
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
The article acknowledges those challenges.
Right.
And suggests that we need to think very carefully about the potential consequences
mm-hmm.
before advocating for such a drastic shift.
Okay, so if open borders aren't the answer,
yeah,
what about global citizenship? What does it even mean?
Global citizenship is a bit more nuanced.
Okay.
It's the idea that we should identify ourselves as citizens of the world
mm-hmm.
rather than as members of any particular nation state.
Okay.
It's about emphasizing our shared humanity.
Yeah.
Our interconnectedness.
So less about having like a global passport.
Right.
And more about like a shift in mindset.
Exactly. It's about thinking beyond national borders.
Right.
Prioritizing global cooperation and solidarity.
Okay.
Recognizing that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And that our actions have consequences.
Right.
That extend beyond our own communities and countries.
Yeah. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that kind of thinking undermine the idea of national sovereignty?
That's a common criticism.
Okay.
Opponents argue that global citizenship weakens national identity.
Right.
Erodes the ability of states to govern effectively.
Mm.
They worry that it could lead to a loss of cultural distinctiveness.
Yeah.
And the weakening of national loyalties.
So it seems like there's this tension between individual freedom
mm-hmm.
and collective responsibility.
Yeah.
Global citizenship seems to lean more towards the individual.
It does.
Okay.
And while it may not be a fully realized solution in the near future, it does offer a very powerful framework for rethinking our relationship to the world and to each other.
Yeah.
It encourages us to see ourselves as part of a global community
mm-hmm.
with shared challenges and responsibilities.
Okay, so both open borders and global citizenship present these kind of interesting, if somewhat idealistic, possibilities.
Right.
But are there any more practical steps that we can take to address these issues in the meantime?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The authors emphasize the need for gradual change.
Okay.
Incremental improvements.
Okay.
They suggest focusing on making borders more permeable,
mm-hmm.
liberalizing citizenship laws.
Right.
And fostering a global sense of community.
So less about tearing down walls and more about building bridges.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's about finding that balance mm-hmm. between maintaining order and security.
Yeah.
While also promoting equality and opportunity for all.
So what are some concrete examples of how we could make borders more permeable?
Well, the article suggests things like easing visa restrictions.
Okay.
Creating more pathways for legal migration. Mm-hmm. And providing greater protections for refugees and asylum seekers.
So making it easier for people to move and work across borders,
mm-hmm.
but in a way that's manageable and sustainable.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about finding ways to facilitate movement and exchange.
Right, right.
While also addressing legitimate concerns about security and social stability.
And what about liberalizing citizenship laws?
Yeah.
What could that look like?
Well, it could involve things like making it easier for immigrants to naturalize.
Okay.
Granting citizenship to children born in a country.
Right.
Regardless of their parents' status,
mm-hmm.
and even exploring the possibility of dual or multiple citizenship.
It seems like these changes would require like a pretty significant shift.
It would.
In how we think about belonging and who gets to be a citizen.
It challenges that kind of traditional nation-state model.
Right.
And encourages us to think more inclusively about membership and belonging in a globalized world.
Okay, and then finally, fostering a global sense of community. That sounds pretty abstract.
It does.
How do we actually do that?
Well, it starts with education.
Okay.
Teaching children about global issues.
Mm-hmm.
Promoting intercultural understanding.
Right.
Encouraging empathy and compassion for people from different backgrounds.
So raising a generation that's more globally aware.
Exactly.
Interconnected.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about fostering that sense of shared humanity.
Right.
And recognizing that our destinies are intertwined.
Yeah.
Regardless of national borders.
It seems like a lot of this boils down to confronting our own biases and prejudices.
It does.
You know, it's easy to cling to the familiar and fear the unknown.
It is. But the authors are challenging us to move beyond that fear and embrace the possibility of a more just and equitable world.
So it's not about like easy answers.
Right.
It's about recognizing the complexities and working towards solutions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the nuances of these issues.
Right.
And working towards solutions that promote both individual well-being
and global solidarity.
This deep dive has been incredibly thought-provoking.
It has.
I'm already looking at borders and citizenship in a completely different light.
That's the power of knowledge and critical thinking.
Yeah.
It allows us to question assumptions, challenge the status quo, and envision a better future.
But before we get too carried away with utopian visions, let's bring it back down to earth a little bit.
Okay.
The article acknowledges that these changes won't happen overnight.
They won't.
Yeah.
It's a long-term process that requires patience and persistence.
So what's the takeaway for you listening?
Yeah.
What are some concrete steps that you can take to be a part of this change?
Mm.
We'll explore some practical applications in the final part of our deep dive. So stay with us.
Welcome back to your deep dive. This article has really gotten me thinking, you know.
Yeah.
We've covered so much.
Yeah, we have.
From the history of borders and citizenship to these philosophical dilemmas to some like radical ideas for change.
Yeah.
So it's easy to feel overwhelmed by it all.
It is. It is.
It's complex.
Yeah.
It's all well and good to talk about open borders and global citizenship.
Right.
But those feel like these huge abstract concepts.
Yeah.
What can we actually do as individuals to make a difference?
Yeah. I think the first step is recognizing that even these like global systems are made up of individuals making choices.
Right.
Your actions, even seemingly small ones, can ripple outwards.
So where do we start?
I think becoming aware is huge.
Okay.
Like what we've been doing here today.
Right.
Reading articles like this one, digging into the historical context, understanding how these systems can perpetuate inequality.
Yeah.
That's the foundation.
So keep learning. Keep having conversations like this.
Absolutely. And talk with your friends and family.
Yeah.
Share what you're learning. Don't be afraid to challenge those who hold like simplistic or biased views.
Yeah.
Sometimes just starting the conversation is a step in the right direction.
It's about raising that collective awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
So that more people understand the issues at stake.
Yeah.
Okay.
And once we have that awareness, we can start to take action.
What kind of actions are we talking about?
Well, it could be as simple as like supporting organizations that work with refugees and immigrants.
Okay.
Donating to causes that promote global development.
Right.
Advocating for policy changes that make borders more permeable and citizenship laws more inclusive.
So get involved on a local level, even if the issues feel global.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And never underestimate the power of your vote.
Right.
Elect leaders who prioritize these issues, who are committed to creating a more just and equitable world.
Be informed and engaged citizens.
Right. But it also goes beyond just politics.
Okay.
You know, we can make choices in our daily lives that reflect these values too.
What do you mean by that?
Think about where you spend your money.
Okay.
Are you supporting fair trade practices? Choosing sustainable products?
Yeah.
These choices might seem small.
Right.
But they send a message.
Yeah.
And they contribute to a more ethical global economy.
It's about engaging with the world in a way that's responsible and respectful.
Exactly. Yeah. And travel can be a powerful tool for breaking down barriers.
Right.
And fostering cross-cultural understanding.
Yeah.
Experiencing different cultures firsthand can really challenge our assumptions.
Yeah.
And help us see the world through new eyes.
It all comes back to connection, doesn't it?
It does.
And understanding.
Yeah. And don't forget about the power of education.
Right.
If you have kids.
Yeah.
Teach them about global citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage them to learn about different cultures.
Right.
Develop empathy for others.
It's about planting those seeds for a better future.
Exactly. This next generation has the potential to create a world where borders are less divisive and citizenship is more inclusive.
This deep dive has really challenged my thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it has for you listening as well.
I hope so.
The authors end the article with this powerful image.
Mm-hmm.
The legal idea of the border should not become an insurmountable barrier where hopeful people drown or freeze to death.
It's a stark reminder that these abstract concepts have very real human consequences.
So what will you do?
Yeah.
What step will you take, no matter how small,
right,
to contribute to a more just and equitable world?
Remember, change starts with each of us.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.